Folks, you can support the hardest working sports talk show in South Florida through Cash App or Venmo. Just search Cash Big O Show. Support us through Cash App or Venmo. Cash Big O Show. We thank you for your incredible support. All righty, there we go. Now we're in. Hope all is well. Wow. Right before I was going on, I almost like you like swallow wrong and you like start coughing. Damn, nice way to start the show. Anyway, welcome aboard. Let me have a little water here and make sure I'm cleared up here and ready to go and rocking and rolling. I see folks are already on the chat board. Thank you all. Good morning on a beautiful Tuesday. Appreciate all of you at least tuning in and following us as always and giving us some amazing support, which, again, you guys are, I can't say enough about what's been going on with everybody out there and the way you guys have supported this show. We tweeted it out yesterday. I always tell you guys to follow us on Twitter at Big O Show because we either put, you know, guests that are coming up or things that are happening on the show or appearances or new records like what happened yesterday, which, again, I did not see that coming, just like I have not seen a lot of this coming, to be honest with you. And yesterday we had a record 95,000 downloads. 95,450, if we want to be exact. 95,000 downloads, which, by the way, we are now over 1 million downloads in the last 30 days here on the program. Over 1 million, okay? 1.04, if you want to be exact. Thank you all out there. I appreciate all of you that's hitting the like button, that's sharing the link, that's sharing the podcast, that's visiting our sponsors. All of these things are going to help. You know, when I hear from Brett that people say, hey, I heard about Canesware on Big O Show, it helps. You know, when you go to Acura and you buy or lease a vehicle at Acura Pembroke Pines and you tell, you know, the folks, hey, man, I heard it on the Big Show. This is going to allow us to grow. And so I just want to thank you guys for just, you know, yesterday, Sean and I were sitting there going, what the hell is this? It was just climbing and climbing, and it was, you know, a shocker. So I guess the next one is the six digits on a day, and that's, I'm going to freak. I may have a heart attack that day if that happens, if we get on another run like yesterday. So I can't thank all of you enough for what you're doing and helping us. And, you know, whether you go to Cash App or Venmo and you send in something to Cash Big O Show, which you all have done already many times and, you know, over the weekend and everything. So I thank all of you out there, whether you're podcasting, whether you're, you know, watching us live, whatever it is. We're doing our best now to improve on the video side. You can tell we're trying to do a little more work on the video side, too, to grow that also in the process, because I know a lot of people love the video portion of all of this, too, at the same time, because you get to see the interaction that goes on at times. So thank you all out there again. I couldn't say enough. I mean, there was 1 hour where we had 18,000 downloads in an hour. I mean, just things that, you know, wow. It's amazing. You know, it's funny because it's a funny story because when our first day that we did a podcast, right? And the only thing we posted was the complete show. We didn't really, you know, I had to learn about, okay, how do people like to download, you know? And I remember we got like, I don't know, like 500 downloads in the first day. And I was excited that, hey, all right, well, we got some downloads, we got some response, you know, and then it started to build from there, and, you know, and it's gone on and gotten better and better and better, and I'm working on trying to create, obviously, more. You know, I'm trying to see if we can get a bigger studio. I'm trying to see if we can expand a little bit more, bring more to you guys out there. I want the show to continue to grow and add more elements to it, but again, you know, baby steps. But you think about it, we started on June 14th. And from June 14th to now is nothing, actually. You know what I mean? Really, it's really nothing. So it's been a really quick journey here. And I can't say enough about what all of you have been doing and supporting us. And thank you. And keep spreading the word. Keep sharing the links. Keep smashing the like button every time you're listening to the podcast, you're watching on YouTube. All of those things help us grow in a big time way. By the way, I talked to my my guy, Dougley Durong, and starting next week, we will be doing together a weekly segment also. It'll be on his channel. We'll do it on his channel, but it'll be on Tuesdays, I believe, that you'll get to see me and Dougley do our thing every single week throughout the NFL season. So for those of you that follow Dougley, or if you don't, you better follow him, Dougley Durong, follow him. He is a good dude and obviously a friend of the program, and I would imagine that we're friends of his program too. So we're going to have some fun, Dougley and myself, doing a show every Tuesday for all of you out there. We'll record it on Monday night, and then he'll work his magic. And, you know, he'll try to make me look better, which is really hard. I don't know how Dougley does it, but whatever makeup he puts on me, you know, electronically or whatever it is that he makes me do. And then he'll post it on Tuesday morning, and it'll be ready to go, and we'll be recapping the Dolphins every single week over on his show. So good stuff there. Again, appreciate all of you out there for everything that you've been doing for the program. It is Buffalo week, right? You know, I think we'll get a little more into the Buffalo game as the week goes on. We obviously will stay in the mode of talking a little bit about what happened this past week and what's going to happen with the team itself before we start, you know, talking about the Bills themselves. So we'll get into that. I got a couple things I want to talk about. Ira Winderman will join us for his weekly segment, his bi-weekly segment, or not bi-weekly. It's twice weekly. How would you call that? Is it? No, because bi-weekly is like once every 2 weeks, right? So it's, what is it, twice a week? Whatever. His twice a week segment, because he's always on Tuesdays and Fridays. And so he'll join us at 10:30 to talk a little NBA and Miami Heat. Got some stuff that I want to talk about with him. 12:30, Manny Navarro is going to stop by. We're going to talk a little Miami Hurricanes with him after the, whatever, barely win, barely get by App State win. That was a little disturbing, but it is what it is. So we'll get to it, and we'll talk to Manny about several issues with the Canes, and philosophical issues too, also, that we'll get into it with Manny and the Canes. Of course, there are many ways to participate on the program. Many of you already are on the chat board, and I appreciate all of you out there, as always, on the YouTube chat board, which David Triana was first at 7:22 a.m. saying, another day closer to Sunday, ready for another killer show. Oh, thank you, sir. And then Chris Adams was in, and he said it's on week two. Home opener Bills are going to melt in the second half, and by the time next week, we will stand alone in the division at 2-0. And that would be nice. And then Steve Chapman gets in. So Chapman got beat out by two folks there because, you know, Steve is kind of the king of the hill almost every single day on the program, being number one there. So there you go, David coming in. And I believe David's the one that lives out in the West Coast. So that's really early, dude, 7:22. My man is up at 4:22 a.m. Holy moly. You are strong, David. Thank you, sir, as always. I appreciate all of you out there. But again, I 95,000 downloads yesterday. Hard to get over that, man. I'm telling you, it's just wow. You know, it's really awesome by all of you out there. I really, really, really appreciate how much we've grown. And remember, for those of you that might be new and you might be coming in and out of the show, you might be downloading the show and you don't know, because sometimes you only download a piece of the show here, a piece of the show there, and maybe you don't listen to the whole show. And because if you don't really listen to the whole show, you may not get all the tidbits. You might get the rants and the interviews and things like that that you might like to listen to, but the back and forth, which has other things involved like news for the show or things like that, you may miss out on it just in case. For those of you that don't know, we'll be at Sports Grill this Sunday in Miami Lakes for our second appearance there. Remember, we're going to be there for our first 8 games. So that's game 2 is coming up. So we'll be there 2 hours prior to kickoff. We will be on to talk a little Bills and Dolphins. I encourage all of you to please get out there to Miami Lakes. It's really easy place to get to. It's right off of the Palmetto on 154th. And the Palmetto, all you got to do is get off and go west. And it's the right when you go west, it's that first shopping center that's on your right side when you get off in the Palmetto. So please come on out there. Join us. Watch the game. It's nice and early. You can show up by 11, 12, whatever. Get your table and get ready for the 1 o'clock game or 12:30, whatever. And come on by and get ready. And we're going to have some fun. And you can have some delicious wings. And once again, just in case you weren't watching yesterday and you're watching today or downloading today, thank you to those of you that showed up on Sunday night. That was actually – or Sunday late afternoon into the evening. Thank you all out there for coming out, man. It was awesome. Really, really appreciate it that you all showed up out there and supported us. So let's get the crowd bigger and bigger every week. We're starting to become a good team. You know what I mean? That's the beauty of watching these Dolphins. Yeah, I see that the Greg Bedard interview has gotten a lot of traction from the pregame show. If you guys didn't get to hear it, you might want to go back. Maybe the video is up also if you want to go to YouTube. But the podcast is there, and Greg, obviously a Patriots writer. He was formerly down here for a little while. Greg was working for, I want to say it was the Palm Beach Post, that Greg was the beat writer for the Dolphins back in the day. And so he's been up there in Boston for a while now and obviously runs his own publication in the Boston Sports Journal. And he has, and that's what I love, that he has that point of view that it's the same old Dolphins. And I loved it. And he was like, I kind of debunked everything he said pretty much, I feel. But the way I see the Dolphins and the way he sees the Dolphins, you know, that's the beauty of sports, man. We're all going to view it a little different. You know what I'm saying? For many years, I didn't really view much of the Dolphins. I didn't think they were much, and I was right. But there were a lot of you that were, you know, you're gung-ho, and every year for you is a Super Bowl year, and that's just not the reality. And so I would piss off some of you out there when I would tell you, yeah, no, you're not going anywhere with Joe Philbin. You know, oh, no, hey, what do you think about the team with Cam Cameron? No, I don't, you know, and then I would piss you off that way. So a lot of people think that's the Dolphins that's out there on the field now. And, you know, so I think it was a fun interview, actually. I enjoyed it because at this point, I am relishing the people that are going to doubt the Dolphins now. I'm going to enjoy this because once they do become a good team, then we're going to have some fun with those folks. You know, it's like, you kept thinking it was the same old Dolphins, right? You know, it's just, it's all right. You know, meanwhile, there's Flo. He's 3-2 against Belichick, and he's won twice in Foxborough. How many Dolphin coaches can you say have beaten Belichick at home twice in their entire tenure? Forget about just 3 years, because we've had some bums here that hung out around longer than 3 years, you know, so – If those guys can't do it, now this guy's doing it, you know. I don't think there are a lot of people in the NFL that are 3-2 against Belichick in their first 5 meetings. I don't know. But if you want to keep thinking it's the same old Dolphins, you can keep thinking it's the same old Dolphins. But if you want to hear that interview, go back, go to either YouTube or go on the podcast and check it out with Greg Bedard. Now, I also want to warn you ahead of time. If you're really, really passionate, you're going to be pissed off during that interview. Okay? Not at me. At least not today. You're not going to be pissed off at me. Maybe one day down the line you'll be pissed off at me. But you'll definitely be pissed off at Greg. And he stirred it up. That's for damn sure. But it'll be fun. He'll owe me some. And I'm going to pick an expensive-ass cigar. Okay? And he's not going to get off with like a $10 cigar. I'm going to make his ass buy me a really nice cigar. He's going to spend some money. Trust me. When it's all said and done. He thinks the Dolphins won't make the playoffs. Let's see. Sports Grill. They were fine. Man, that wasn't that bad. The internet. It was fine. It happens, bro. You know? See, Dola, listen, my brother. There's no such thing as the perfect internet. It drops here in my house. It drops everywhere. All right? It's like cell phones. I say, oh, well, hey, what's your cell phone company? What cell phone company stays up the entire time? So, you know, listen, if you're going to make shit up, you know what I'm saying? Not going to fly here. Make it sound like it was down the entire time. It was perfect most of the time. So you're going to have glitches here and there. But, you know, and it was mostly with the connecting people. It wasn't me, actually. Because I kept seeing myself pretty much. And then there were a couple times that we went down. But in 4 hours of broadcasting, if it happens a couple times, man, that's going to happen. You know, it's not a big deal. That's the internet. And nothing's perfect on the internet. Nothing's perfect on cell phones. Doesn't matter what company you have, AT&T, T-Mobile, Verizon, Metro PCS. Doesn't matter what company you have. You're going to have drops. You're going to have places that you're not going to be able to hear. And that's just the way. That's the life we live, man. So when you can find the perfect cell phone and the perfect internet, please tell me, because I'd love to have them at my house. I'd love to have them everywhere, because last time I checked, that shit doesn't exist. Let's see. Chris Adams says, I know it's only Tuesday, but how's ready for the Bills? Can't wait to shut the world up again. 11-6 is the floor for this team. We win this week and we're winning the division. Put it in the bank. Well, let's hope everything goes well, too. You know what I mean? Let's see. What else do we have here? Steven Gonzalez says, good morning, my peoples. Big O, love you, bro. What a game last night. That was fun last night. So Raiders at the end. That whole deflection and the interception. And then the kid, what's the name of the kid? Brian Edwards. Dives for the touchdown, and then he falls short, and they think they scored, and everybody's thanking everybody and congratulating and saying what's up and all that stuff, and then they had to clear the field to do it all over again, and they couldn't score from that whole situation. I mean, it was entertaining as hell. I will say that it was a great football weekend. The Dallas game was probably better than I expected. This game last night was probably a little better than I expected. I can't use it as one of my picks, so I stay at 4-4. But I did take the Raiders, actually, last night. I took the points. And I don't see, to me, I know a lot of people are, and I know he's a freakish talent, Lamar Jackson. I still don't fear him as a quarterback. I just don't. I don't fear him as a passer. And that's the thing. That what you have to fear is his legs. And eventually those legs will get cut off, because you don't run like that for your whole career. You can only do that for a certain amount of years, and you can only take so many hits. And yesterday he fumbled twice, you know, and I know he's a fantastic kid, and I know he can run like the wind and all that stuff. But, you know, it's still kind of gimmicky to me. And I look at, you know, Derek Carr, you look at yesterday, 455 yards, 34-56. And here's Lamar Jackson, 19 of 30, 235 yards and a touchdown. And I know he was 12 for 86 rushing. And that's where he makes the ultimate difference right there. But until he becomes a difference maker with his arm, you know, I saw somebody on Twitter yesterday post Kyler Murray in the clutch, and it shows him, you know, trying to make a play, and then Lamar Jackson in the clutch, and he's in a pile, you know, fumbling. And when I looked at both, I said, well, it's simple. One's a passer, the other one isn't. Because Kyler Murray can run around like an athlete, but he is a legitimate passer, where I don't see the other kid as a legitimate passer. But It was an entertaining as hell game. Bryan Edwards, a South Carolina kid, had done nothing throughout the game and then was the ultimate difference maker at the end. Henry Ruggs, and you talk about a kid, and I know it's only a couple years so far, but, man, it has not gone well with him. He didn't finally make a play, but it was that they've been trying to get him involved, and it just has not really translated yet. And I know they talked a little bit about it in the broadcast that he and Derek Carr haven't really hooked up like they thought they would. And it was, listen, super entertaining game yesterday. You got to admire that the Ravens have had so many injuries already leading up to it. And that's the thing, if you're a Dolphins fan, got to be pretty lucky, man. There hasn't been a lot of injuries. You had the Shaheem COVID thing going on. You've got Preston Williams still trying to come back from an injury. But you don't really have a ton of injuries. Hopefully, Raekwon Davis, coach was asked about it yesterday, you know, and he said, well, they're running some tests, all that. But he was sprinting on the sidelines. It looked like he, you know, it doesn't seem like it was serious. Looks like he's going to get through it and he'll be ready for the Buffalo game, which they desperately need because they need to crumble that pocket, man, in a big-time way. And, you know, Omar made a good point on Monday that they're not necessarily a power running team up the middle because they've got their backs probably are a little bit more finesse. So he's right. So you're not really going to be tested nearly as much up the middle like you would with some other teams that really want to, you know, punch you in the gut and run the football. So but no, listen, last night that was fun. 33-27 Raiders. I give them credit. I didn't watch the Peyton Eli stuff. I saw it on social media. I didn't take the time to watch myself, so I can't tell you anything about it. But all I know is I heard good things and then I heard bad things on social media. Social media was kind of a 60-40, I would say, that people didn't like it. They weren't, you know, whatever. And I don't know what it was. You guys would have to tell me. I'm going to try to see if I can remember to watch it next time and try to catch it and see what they're talking about and if it's any good. I didn't take the time, unfortunately, to watch it yesterday. So I know Peyton has got plenty of personality. So I don't know how much it was X's and O's and how much it was joking around and how much is it family joking around, because those two, obviously, when you get them together – they're talking about all kinds of stuff that they've done to each other. So, and you know, that's fun and that's all well and good. But the question is, does it get in the way of watching the game overall? Or I'm sure Peyton is going to drop some nuggets and hopefully Eli does too about certain things football wise. So I would imagine that if you're a junkie, you have to be able to get something out of it, but you guys will have to tell me overall what is your reviews on Peyton and Eli last night in the Monday night game between the Raiders and the Ravens? What else did I see? And I'll tell you what, when I watch both teams, I can't tell you Miami can't beat both. I told you I don't necessarily fear Lamar the passer. Lamar drag route Jackson. Lamar crossing pattern Jackson, because they love to throw those crossing routes right behind the line of scrimmage. There you go. I mean, they throw that pass like 70% of the time. That's what they're doing. Or if not, he's dumping off to the tight end. It's not like the passing tree that he has is this amazing tree that he throws every route out there. That doesn't really put a lot of fear in me, especially when Miami has a pretty good secondary. And then obviously the Raiders, for me, the Raiders are a joke as it is. They've got some talent. Yes, no doubt about it, but it's not a team that I would fear, and Miami's going to get to play them. So it should be interesting watching that matchup. That's the one thing that I walked away from. It wasn't like, okay, I know Miami played an ugly game this week on the road and they won. I feel they can get better, actually. I don't fear them going into the Buffalo this week, actually, especially at home. Maybe towards the end of the season when it's winter and you're in Buffalo, okay, that might be a pain in the ass. But this Sunday, I'm not sitting there going, oh, wow, yeah, the Dolphins for sure are going to lose. Dolphins have a chance to win. They, in one of the matchups last year, they almost beat them. So why can't they do that this week? And, you know, the beauty is you get Fuller and Shaheem back on offense. That's, you know, that I'm looking forward to that. That's pretty cool. Now you're going to add two more weapons to the offense. I don't think Preston's going to come back right now. And in a way, you really don't need Preston. If Parker is healthy and he looked good this week, and you get the other guys, you got Waddle and you got Fuller out there with a lot of speed, that's going to open up the middle of the field. So I think Jalen Waddle and Mike Gesicki are set to have some pretty big games this week, because Buffalo can look at the tape and say, okay, this is what they did against Gesicki, but the problem is they didn't have to deal with Fuller. So now you've got Fuller with Waddle and Parker and Gesicki. I think that now makes the offense that much better. So this is one element to the game that I'm really looking forward to against the Bills, because Tua will be home. You'll have the home field advantage. You should have enough Dolphin buzz in the building. And now Tua is going to line up with two more weapons. The anti-vaxxer will be on the field, opposite of Gesicki. You can run two tight end sets if you want to. And then you've got Fuller and Waddle on the field now. And maybe that opens it up a little bit more for Albert Wilson, who was mighty quiet this past week, where he had a great opportunity and did absolutely nothing. And this is why I wasn't like some of you out there. Oh, Albert Wilson, Albert Wilson, Albert Wilson, Albert Wilson. Oh, no, oh, Albert Wilson's a difference maker. What difference did he make this past Sunday? In fact, what the hell has he accomplished in the NFL? A guy that averages 300-400 yards a year? What does he have, 5-7 touchdowns or something like that in 2 years with the Dolphins? I mean, what's he accomplished? I'm sorry, I must have missed it. Had a great opportunity this week. No Fuller. Couldn't get it done. They took his ass out of the game. Couldn't take Jalen Waddle out of the game, right? And he's a rookie. I'm just saying. You know, it's sometimes fans and sometimes media, we fall in love with a player and there's not enough substance there to fall in love with the player. And Albert Wilson's that guy. Many of you were out in a corner playing with yourselves, getting excited about Albert Wilson because he ran around for 10 days in camp in shorts. I've been doing this shit for 31 years. You know how many guys I've seen go around and impress people in shorts? Tell me what you've done in the regular season on a consistent basis so I can believe that you're actually going to be impactful. Albert Wilson is a complimentary receiver. A number four is what he's been his whole life. He's never been a frontline guy. And he had all the opportunity in the world on Sunday, and yet they took his ass out. So let's stop with the Albert Wilson love affair. Let's wait till he actually accomplishes something before you guys start telling me what's coming with Albert Wilson. But I'll tell you what's coming. It's Ira Winderman, baby. We're going to talk a little basketball. We're going to switch gears here. I want to get into a little NBA. There's a couple of things that I want to talk about on the league side. And then we'll talk, of course, a little Miami Heat with Ira Winderman next.
Heat fans, time for the best insight of your favorite team with insider Ira Winderman, exclusively on the Big O Radio Show. It's the Acura of Pembroke Pines, Miami Heat and NBA Report. Here's Ira Winderman.
Oh, yes. Ira, how are you doing? We caught you again taking your glasses off. It's, you're just slightly slow there on it.
I was expecting to hear more from our fine sponsor, the good folks at Acura of Pembroke Pines there. So I apologize. I thought we'd be pushing more products. I know you're not out there like you often are in our Friday broadcast there, but we got to push product also here. Even I, as the guest, appreciate that. So
it's all over the board that we're on right now.
Bottom of the screen, folks.
Yeah, yeah. It's a bottom, top, everywhere. You know what I mean? That's why I think this format has exploded the way it has. I wrote 1 million downloads in the last 30 days. We had 95,000 downloads yesterday. And why?
Yes, I have the wife and the son in the other room constantly clicking and running various programs there. Thanks to the added income you've given us in cryptocurrency, we've been able to get a whole motherboard going here. So we're doing our part, Big O.
Exactly. Exactly. Everybody's doing their part. And that's the beauty. And we're not, you know, when I talk for an hour, there's only a couple of minutes of commercials. That's it. It's not, we're not doing 25 minutes of commercials in an hour. And I think that's why people are, you know, the chat boards are growing and people are tuning in because they're getting substance and they're not getting a whole bunch of fluff. And yet we're still taking care of our amazing sponsors at the same time because you're beautiful.
So folks, I'm pointing down there, right about there. If you're watching us on YouTube, all the information you need is there as we talk basketball.
That's right. That's right. And that's why we take care of our great sponsors and we broadcast out there twice a month and all of that. So, you know, we do our part. We take care of our great sponsors. Plus, they've taken care of me, Ira. They've been with us for 11 years, man. I mean, that's loyalty, man. And I love the great people out there at Craig's Inn. They are just absolutely phenomenal with us. So we really, really appreciate it. And we appreciate all of you out there that are making this more your habit in visiting us over here. All right, Ira, before I get into maybe some Heat stuff, first of all, I want to bounce around the NBA. And first, Bosch, obviously, Hall of Fame, well-deserved. I think we all appreciate Chris Bosh, the human being, a lot. You know what I'm saying? Because he's a guy that actually showed us the side of being a human being many times. And what I loved in that speech is he talked about his pain also, that maybe it even lingers to this day a little bit that he couldn't finish his career the way he wanted. But I thought it was a phenomenal speech. I love the fact that he gave Riley back his ring also, which, you know, in the big picture, I'm thinking that's a ballsy move by Riley to give him a ring to hold on until they win one. And if they never won one, what the hell happens then? You know what I'm saying? And so it's just kind of it was a terrific night overall. It was one of those where you appreciated what he brought to the table and the selflessness that he brought to the table too.
Yeah, a few things to unpack there. First, Pat has duplicates of his championship ring. So Pat ain't giving out the main diamond encrusted one. That remains very much in the Riley hand down over the years. So that stays there. Here's something interesting, though. I spoke to both Pat and Chris on Thursday last week ahead of the induction. I asked Chris about the ring, and he was very coy. He goes, oh, I don't know. I think I'll just wait for the right moment. You know that he had that all planned. So he was coy with me. I talked to Pat Riley about it, and he goes, this is really interesting. I didn't use this in the story because I didn't want to give the Heat any more grief. Pat goes to me, you know, I probably have to get that back sooner. The NBA might accuse me of tampering.
Oh.
And I figure with the tampering investigation ongoing, if I quoted Pat that way,
yes,
the great Heat PR guy, Tim Donovan, would be calling me right away. What are you thinking? What are you doing? So I do think it caught Pat by surprise. But clearly, it was something that Chris had in the works all along. The way he handled it, first of all, on Saturday morning, I got in touch and I asked, what's the order of the speakers? This was a huge Hall of Fame class. I know most of our listeners and people watching right now on YouTube were watching the Canes game instead. 16 people were enshrined. All of a sudden, I get the list. Chris Bosh is 16th. And I'm sitting there thinking to myself, what are we talking here? It starts at 7, 9:30, 10, 10:30, which proved to be the time. It just took forever. So I got to watch almost all of the Canes game. By the time they were kicking the winning field goal, that's when Chris stepped up and started his speech. And what a speech. And that one line, and I know you know this, because you do this as a radio person and media personality. When you write your scripts, you try to find that one line.
Yeah.
And when Chris goes that all of his tears led up to planting the seeds for what would come next. You're like, whoa, that's an NBA player. That's a line I wish I could have used.
Right.
How did he think about it? And that's the thing about Chris Bosh. just as he was meticulous on the court with his game, with his practice and everything else, you know that that speech was not written the day he arrived in Springfield, the week before he arrived in Springfield, even the month before. This was something that was months in the works. And as, honestly, I thought after Paul Pierce spoke, the place would be emptying out. There were fans at the Springfield Civic Center. He's the local New England guy. That would be it. And if you left Chris Bosh's speech, you left the most impactful moment, I think, of that night. It was wonderful. It's available on YouTube. If you get a chance after the Big O radio show, go over and listen to it. It was fantastic.
That is the key part. Also, any report on how many strippers were waiting for Paul Pierce outside?
You know, it was interesting because Paul gave, I don't want to say defiant, but that kind of speech where he like, I don't give a crap what you say about me. I'm Paul freaking Pierce. I'm the truth. My ego is going to let nothing get in the way. It was, you know, his was, and I know, oh, you're probably preoccupied with the UM game also, or maybe Inter Miami or some of the other stuff that was on the exact same time. Yeah. But Paul Pierce's speech reminded me of Michael Jordan's as sort of the final F you to anyone who dare cross his path or doubt him. Whereas everyone else got up on the podium there, got up to the lectern and spoke about how honored they were, how special it was. Paul Pierce got up there and basically went, you darn well, I expected to be here. I darn well expected to be here. Of course I'm a Hall of Famer. I'm Paul Pierce. I'm the truth. And then immediately attacked and listed every team that bypassed him in the draft before the Celtics took him. So there was a little Jordan-esque approach to that. God bless him or whatever. Chris was different. Didn't thank a lot of people, but mentioned them along the way. Really recreated his journey. It was special. Paul Pierce, more of his long-awaited FU moment.
Will they also include the wheelchair in the Naismith Hall of Fame? I'm just wondering for Paul Pierce, just in his honor.
Okay, so maybe Paul's injury wasn't that severe.
Put his bust on top of the wheelchair. I mean, that's, you know, that would, right. Maybe? No?
You know what? Always
would a stripper pushing the wheelchair?
You know what? People always ask me, what team are you enshrined with? They don't understand. This is not like baseball. You don't have a baseball cap on your bust. You're just enshrined as a player. So Chris wasn't enshrined as a Raptor or as a Heat. Paul Pierce wasn't enshrined. Of course, he is as a Celtic, but he also played for the Nets, for the Wizards, for the Clippers. So you're right. He could also be on the wheelchair team. They could put them all in there because there is no delineation there. Probably the most polarizing player during Hall of Fame presentation night. You have Chris Webber, of course, for what happened in Michigan and the payments and how the school itself wouldn't honor him. So that, of course, was a little bit different. You had Ben Wallace talking about the undrafted player. Paul took it the other direction. But honestly, Chris Bosh, I think if we voted, if we had little boxing scorecards at the end of the night, I think we would have given the last round and the night to Chris Bosh.
Right, and I wouldn't be surprised. It would take somebody that's, you know, at another level at IQ-wise to beat a guy like Chris Bosh, who's just, you know, he's just a complete dude, man. That's Chris Bosh. I will ask, I would imagine that Wade's not going to wait long, right? This is a first ballot thing in a couple of years, I imagine, right?
2 years. He is eligible in 2 years. You know, we saw this, of course, with Derek Jeter in the Baseball Hall of Fame last week. There's always some guy out there who refuses to make it unanimous. There's always some guy, Russell, you're not Michael Jordan. Like, don't be an ass.
Yeah.
Dwayne Wade is 100% lock in 2 years. Matter of fact, he's going to be the same year as Dirk Nowitzki, which is sort of ironic.
Another 100% lock.
Playoffs, you know, but also their playoffs together. I almost wonder, Chris Bosh did not get in the first year for the reason of it was Kobe Bryant, right, Tim Duncan, and Kevin Garnett year. They decided to keep it an intimate and special induction. I wonder 2 years from now in 2023, because of Nowitzki, how he changed the game with his game, because of Dwayne Wade, how he was top two, top three, all-time shooting guard, if they maybe keep that class small also, speeches a little bit longer because of special players. Dwayne Wade will be in Springfield 2 years from now. It will be his weekend. He will own that weekend. And no, he will not go in as a Chicago Bull or a Cleveland Cavalier.
Yeah, something tells me that maybe the Sun Sentinel will spend a couple of bucks and send you up there for that one, right? I would imagine.
They might spend a few bucks for that. And I was torn, but I got to admit, the one thing I understand also in our market, God bless Chris Bosh. But when you have a UM game on Saturday night and you have the Dolphins season opener against the Patriots, sometimes you got to make decisions also. So in this case, I would rather have been at games this season. You'll be catching me without this backdrop a lot when I'm on the road this season for the Big O Show and these Acura Pine reports. But that's the whole thing is you sort of got to figure when I understand my place. This is football season. Keeping the stories down a little, enjoying talking to you twice a week. Clay Ferraro, you know, on our weekly Wednesday report, also brought to you by Pallet Rock City. I enjoy that also. So, yes, but Dwayne will be different. Most Heat people were in Springfield this weekend for Chris Bosh. Every Heat person, including the Arisons and everyone, I can't fathom not being there when it's Dwayne Wade's time, the first weekend or second weekend in September of 2023.
Hell yeah, it's Wade County, man, I live in. So he's. I want to go there, by the way. I want to be there for that, actually. Maybe
it's going to be special.
The show out there for a couple of days. And
Dwayne was there. And Dwayne was there for Chris's thing this week. And that was important. He made a big presence there. He did the red carpet. He spoke about Chris on NBA TV show. Eric Spoelstra was there. Pat Riley was there. LeBron was there. And him and Chris did not have the best relationship. They didn't. And at times, LeBron treated Chris like another Mario Chalmers. But I think LeBron knew how important that moment was. So to see Pat Riley and Ray Allen as presenters, you have to be in the hall to be a presenter. That's why Dwayne or LeBron couldn't be. But they all realized that. And like you said, it'll be like Eric Spoelstra says, for Dwayne Wade, it'll be 10X.
Yeah, and I'm sure after his experiences post-Bosh with other players and other characters and other personalities, now that he got to bounce around a little bit, he probably is now appreciating what Bosh brought to the table.
Absolutely.
Because,
absolutely.
I mean, hey, to this day, Chris Bosh still has the most important rebound, the most important block, and the most important assist in the history of the Miami Heat. Okay? End of story. That rebound to Ray Allen and that block on Danny Green in the corner and the assist, obviously, to Ray Allen. Dude, you know, you can't talk about a guy that, you know, that guy made some impactful plays for this team to secure that championship. All right, let's move to the NBA now. There is talk about an in-season tournament. It's funny how Vlade Divac, years ago, coming from the world of Europe, where flopping was, you know, normal for soccer players, Vlade was patient X, came to the NBA, brought flopping, and now flopping is something that has gone over to football also, and we know it's all over basketball. And so now, you know, in soccer again, in-season tournaments are something normal that's been part of soccer life. So it looks like basketball is thinking about inheriting something else from the world of soccer. What do you hear about this in-season tournament, which is planned for a couple of years if they decide to do this?
You know, it's all about the money. Do they get the television partners on board? Can they generate additional revenue? Then anything's a go, because just like the play-in tournament. But, oh, to me, there's a fundamental difference why this is a terrible idea. Okay, I understand in soccer, you have UEFA, you have the FA Cup, for example,
CONCACAF.
In Britain.
Yeah.
In Britain, you have it everywhere. But here's the difference. In soccer, you don't have playoffs, except here for Major League Soccer. You just have a table and the season ends. So you don't have a whole additional major part of your season. Here, even in the MLS, you have a soccer playoffs, which to a lot of players in the MLS is like, playoffs? What's that? The table is done. We got our points and we're done. So I think a tournament in season works in soccer because that's their secondary championship. There's the regular season, the only season. You finish at the top of your table after the final week of the season, you're done. So you can play something else. I don't see how a league that also has playoffs should also hold a tournament. Because first you're crowning, you know how this goes, you're crowning a regular season champion. You're crowning a playoff champion with separate statistics and a separate MVP. And now you're having a third thing. That's why I think this falls flat, is that it is different than soccer. You're never getting rid of your playoffs. Playoffs are an American thing. You have it in all of your sports. But I think adding another in-season tournament, so what? So it's not holding the NBA championship. It's not holding that trophy. There's not a playoff system that's going to be better than the NBA playoffs. I think it could be intriguing. I understand you can offer $1 million per player, they're talking about, to the winners. which is great for Max Strus and Gabe Vincent. But you know what? For Jimmy Butler or someone who's making 40, some of that Steph Curry $50 million now, is it worth it to play those extra games and risk injury when it's all about whether you're an NBA champion, not a Stern Cup champion or something like that?
You know, when I read that, what came, and I'm with you, I don't think you need to do that here. Plus, I don't think we'll appreciate it as Americans. I think we'll look at it as a gimmick is what we'll end up looking at it. Like, even in soccer here in this country, you know, we have the U.S. Open Cup. And that's and let me tell you, the MLS players, they hate playing the U.S. Open Cup. I've been covering this thing for years. And obviously, if you're in the NASL, which no longer exists, but or the USPSL or the or now it's called the USL One, you know, those kind of things in USL. If you're in the lesser leagues in this country, because believe it or not, ladies and gentlemen, there's a second and a third and a fourth league in this country. Yeah, you look forward to that. Obviously, you want to play against the big boys, but we don't even take it serious even in this country that much. On the upper levels of the MLS. So when I look
and
at
one
it,
other, and
go ahead.
One other thing, though, to add to your thought there. Think about even the Gold Cup. The U.S. was fantastic in the Gold Cup this year. They beat Mexico. And yet when the U.S. lost their first two CONCACAF World Cup qualifiers, every analyst, whether it was Alexi Lalas, whether it was anyone else, they were talking about it didn't matter. All that matters is World Cup qualifying. Right. No one cared that you're Gold Cup champion. What the hell is the Gold Cup? So, again, that's a difference in mentality also. It has to have some discernible payoff. You know what would make it special? Oh, this. If the team that wins the cup becomes the U.S. Olympic team. Think about that.
Okay.
Think about if it had something tangible, that instead of sending an all-star team, all we hear about is these NBA all-star teams, the Olympics, they haven't practiced together, and the other international teams have. So maybe one out of every 4 years you hold the NBA Cup and the winner goes to the Olympics. That'll motivate players. That'll draw my interest to see which NBA team is going to go over to the Olympics that year. That would be a way to do it. But it would be nothing more than soccer's Gold Cup to U.S. fans. Hey, it was great. They finally beat Mexico. So what? They also crapped out their first two games in CONCACAF Olympic World Cup qualifying. You know, it's we know. We're smart, especially here on the Big O Show. We know what matters more. You can't fool us.
Yeah, I'm with you. The only thing that I thought might make it interesting is if you grab the top four or six basketball leagues in the world, and you get the champions of all those leagues and maybe the runner-ups, and then you kind of play a tournament at one point in the year and something like that. That maybe might be interesting. But an in-season tournament, see, because that way at least we can get jingoistic, we can root for our Americans and all that good stuff, and then all the other countries can root for their champion from their league in their country. That's maybe something that could work.
Nah.
You know what I mean?
NBA players wouldn't care. Just like, as you know, Big O, MLS teams sit a lot of their prime players in the Lamar Hunt Cup and, you know, things like that, because it just doesn't matter as much to them. The Premier League teams in the early rounds of the FA Cup, they sit their best players also. So, you know, we are what we are. Look, I have no issue with trying to juice the game a little. I have no difference hockey went to 3-on-3 overtime or the NFL changed overtime and a field goal doesn't end it. I understand tweaks to the game. We should evolve to the attention spans of fans. But I think sometimes you got to understand we are inherently different from world sports to some degree also.
Yeah, no, it's kind of like when it's funny when I hear soccer fans in this country. Well, no, you guys had to, you know, put in regulation and promotion. I'm like, dude, we're Americans. We don't do that. Go look at all of our sports. You think these billionaires are going to invest in something that can be sent down? Do you know what the minors are in this country? The minors are close to hell. You're right next to hell. It's not like in England that the first division gets a ton of support, actually. People care about the second and third divisions that are under, you know, the
oh no, the championship of the Premier League is just as big almost, and there's some teams there that have been on the cusp for years. They have big stadiums, but can you imagine David Beckham finally getting maybe his Miami stadium built, and all of a sudden you wind up relegated,
boom,
and
to the USL.
Talking about tonight's big game against Spokane.
Yes,
try selling that in Miami.
Yeah, no, and they have Fort Lauderdale CF there. So imagine you get sent down to join that league. You know what I mean? It's like, oh, crap.
And Fort Lauderdale, and then Fort Lauderdale's promoted, and all of a sudden they're still playing the most important games over there by Commercial Boulevard.
That is just absolutely awesome. All right, I saw in some of your articles that you were talking a little bit about, is more offense going to be required from Jimmy Butler? And then I read it, and look, there's a part of me that if you – here's the way – I got enraged with that.
Okay.
if this effing team needs to lean on Jimmy Butler the entire year, I'm going to mm-hmm. be pissed, because then I know Butler's going to be out of gas at the end, and then you got to – you know, this is the year where Bam and Tyler and Duncan have to carry some big-time weight here and make life easy for Butler, make life easy for Lowry, save these dudes for when it matters, because that's what they were made for. So let's not burn their asses out in the 82. Let the young guys need to effing step up today, this year. And, you know, we're crossing fingers, if you could get Depot healthy towards the end of the season, then he also needs to help carry the load. My point is, the young guys better do their job, and you better not be wearing Jimmy out for the entire season, because I don't think that benefits Miami in the postseason.
Yeah, the point I was trying to make at Ask Ira today at SunSentinel.com was this, is that you've lost the offense of Goran Dragic and mm-hmm. of Kendrick Nunn. You've replaced it with Kyle Lowry, but not all of it. Jimmy Butler's never been a 25-point-a-game scorer. It's just not who he is. Right. Chicago, Minnesota, Philadelphia, don't think he'll be that here. So they have to find offense somewhere else. Maybe it is the natural growth, like you pointed out, Big O, of young players like Bam Adebayo and Duncan Robinson and Tyler Hero. Maybe. You don't know it until you can see it. Otherwise, I think this team, adding in a P.J. Tucker and a Markieff Morris, that's not the offense.
No.
Dwayne Dedman, even Omer Yurtseven as a young player, that's not going to be there. So it'll have to come internally. But I still think it could be a struggle until the one point you made, and I didn't make that in that piece because I had space limitations. If Victor Oladipo comes back, I've got my offense. He's a known NBA scoring quantity, and it's there. Maybe my midseason will see that. Otherwise, I do think when this season starts, you know, last season the Heat did not have a single scorer in the top 25 in the NBA in the individual scoring race. That makes it harder. Yeah. It's a lot easier to give the ball to Damian Lillard and say score, or Bradley Beal and say score. When you do it collectively, and you need 3, 4, 5 guys to score 15, 18 points, everyone's got to be, you know, sort of at their moment, at their scoring level in those games. So I think offense will be interesting. Maybe Kyle Lowry says, screw it, I got $85 million, I'm going to score more points. Or maybe Jimmy Butler says, as the questioner asked and Ask Ira at SunTechnical.com, because Jimmy doesn't have to be facilitator, because there's another defender in the backcourt in Kyle Lowry, maybe Jimmy can turn his focus a little more to offense. But that's where Eric Spoelstra is going to come in. Media day, the first day of camp is 2 weeks from today. Eric Spoelstra is going to come in and talk defense, because that's what Miami Heat coaches do. But I'm going to be keeping an eye on the offense, Big O.
Yeah, no, I'm with you there. And I'm going to be frustrated if the three young cats don't pick it up, because I think this team, actually, at least for this first season, I worry about other seasons because, man, they're getting older up there.
Sure.
But those young guys have to prove that they can carry the load night in and night out and use – and then all those other guys you talked about are going to help you out defensively so much. And I think that's the Heat's vision, is that, hey, our young guys will pick it up a lot more. You know, we could get Lowry and Jimmy to do their thing late in the season, the postseason, to put it over. And then we've got our core of guys that are dedicated to defense and will help, you know, obviously stop the opponent. And then our guys will score, because the way the team is built, they're counting on those three young cats, man, to step it up. And
yeah. And
maybe even if the Struce gets loose, you get another shooter in there. And listen, who knows? He might be a hell of a lot more consistent than Kendrick Nunn at shooting that three.
Sure, and look at Tim Duncan, I wish. Look at Duncan Robinson from year one to year two.
That's
the
right.
Heat players grow also. So,
yeah.
You know, Duncan Robinson came in the first year, couldn't defend anyone, so they couldn't keep him on the court. Then he comes in, all of a sudden has this breakout record-setting second year. Maybe Max Strus maybe is on that curve, but you know what? I wouldn't doubt the Heat's developmental program. It's special enough. Yeah, I'm curious about that also.
I definitely would never underestimate the Heat's development, that's for sure. Or scouting now. I mean, that's you just never know what they're going to end up finding.
Who they are.
Follow him on Twitter, at Ira Heatbeat. Catch his work there at the South Florida Sun Sentinel. Do what I do. Subscribe to the Sun Sentinel and support Ira and all the other great writers that are there at the South Florida Sun Sentinel. What are you working on for the rest of the week, my man, so they can check you out?
Doing a story just now. The Heat right now, I just checked to see if there's a mask policy or not, because I've watched all these NFL games. No one's wearing a mask. As of now, on the Heat's Ticket Splash page, it is masks are required. So, you know what? Oh, we talk about non-sports stuff sometimes, but I know that's important to fans. So, as of now, the Heat are saying masks are in place, indoor arena, no vaccination requirement. That's political. I'm staying the hell out of that for now. But, you know, that's something also. So, again, all these teams trying to work through what's right, what raises revenue, how they can make the fans most comfortable. That'll be sort of an ancillary story, honestly, throughout the season.
For sure, for sure. And politically, you know that the NFL and the NBA are in two different spots more often than not. So,
the NFL teams and NBA teams in the state of Florida are under one governor.
Oh,
and
yeah.
That has a lot to do with it also.
Oh, yeah. We're loosey-goosey with him. Everybody's free. Go ahead, kids. Drop the mask.
He said it. He said it. That guy over there said it.
Ira, thank you as always, my brother. You're the best. We will talk on Friday, my friend. Well, actually, we'll see you tomorrow with Clay
tomorrow
at 10 a.m.
Tomorrow with Clay Ferraro on Pallet Rock City's Inside the Paint. We'll give you a full hour, and we'll correct everything that Big O said that was wrong. Thanks, Big O.
There you go. That'll take 2 hours.